In chapter 4 of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "So Cain was angry and his face was downcast." Can you imagine? It's all because of sin, my friend. Anger creeps into us because of sin, right? Depression, downcast, sadness comes into our life because of sin. We have lost the authority that was given to us. And that's why Jesus is saying, you know, I have all the authority. I have all the authority, and so I'm sending you in my name, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that I have the authority, but I'm sent as a representative, my friend. And that's what Jesus is trying to do here. So when you and I are actually ministering to people, remember, you are going in the name of Jesus. You need not fear anything, even the evil spirit, right? There are so many evil spirits that works in this world, my friend. You and I need not be afraid, because we go in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that's what the scripture is trying to tell us. Look at passages, you know, I thought, well, a couple of things will be good for us to look at. And secondly, you know, now sometimes you realize, you know, Pastor Vincent, you know, yes, I have the authority, and I go, I want to witness, but there are some things that doesn't happen, right? And when you look at passages very carefully, if you realize, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 17, there was an incident where the disciples were not able to cast out the evil one. Can you imagine? Jesus said, yeah, I'm sending you with authority. I'm sending you, not only this particular passage, earlier when Jesus called them, he sent them with authority. And in Luke chapter, in Mark, we are reading the second time Jesus is telling them, you know, I'm sending you with authority. But they went, but later they realized they were not able to do. There were moments they were able to exercise the authority that was given to them. Why? The word is very clear, right? It says, because you have little faith. Initially, they were so excited. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were on fire. They were on zeal. They knew they were God's representative. But slowly, what was happening? They were losing faith. They were having faith in themselves. They thought, you know, I have the talent. I have the gifting, right? I can do, right? If I use my hand, you know, people will be slain. It's not your hand. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was another incident in Mark chapter 9, right? The disciples came, when Jesus came home, his disciple asked him privately, why couldn't we drive the spirit out? And Jesus says, this kind can only come out, right, by prayer and fasting. What does prayer mean? Prayer means I communicate with God. I have a relationship with God. Yes, my friend, you and I are sent with authority, provided we have a relationship with God. Not because you and I are a Christian. I think when I have a relationship with God, I love God, I have fellowship with Him. When I lose that, let me tell you, it's difficult for me to operate with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus was saying, you know, it's only by prayer. What is prayer? You are depending on me. You know, sometimes we take Christian life for granted, you know, and that is one of the challenges of a pastor too, right? We think that we know kind of a thing. But authority, I need to have a constant walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer life is important. My faith life is important. My life with the scriptures are also important, my friend. I can't take things for granted because I did my studies in the seminary. I think the disciples thought, you know, earlier they were so excited, they were on fire, they were going in Jesus' name, and slowly they thought they had the power. They had the strength, but they realized it was not they. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who was doing great, wonderful things in them. In the passage that was we just read today, Mark, right, 6, if you realize, Jesus actually called them to him first before sending them out, right? The passage is very clear. It says Jesus called them to him because it is him, it is he who is able to strengthen them, to guide them, and to be with them. He did not just call and send. He called them to him. It's a very powerful word. And then he sent them out in his name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you realize, you know, they were just going out and witnessing for the Lord Jesus. And so, my friends, I think we have God's authority with us. When you go, you might be thinking, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to share? God says, you know, go in my name. Go in my name. You need not fear, because I'm sending you with my authority. Right? It's not an ordinary authority. You can even cast out the devil, my friend, from the lives of people. You can see people being healed, right? Not only physically, but even depressions or sadness or difficulties. God can use us, and He wants to use us. But whether we want to go in Jesus' name, where we want to make the first step of faith and say, you know, I want to be God's representative. If authority is not been used, then it's become useless. The disciples went and they did great things. Secondly, you know, very interesting passage. Secondly, if you look at it, it says, Jesus called the disciples to him. And these was the words, you know, I always like the way Jesus speaks. And these was the words in verse 8. He says, these were his instruction: take nothing for the journey except a staff. Can you imagine? Don't take anything. I'm sending you on a mission field, on an assignment. Don't take anything, right, for the journey. No bread. Lord, you know, I will feel hungry because I need to eat 3 times, or maybe 5 times a day. I need snack time. I need cookies along the way. The Lord says, don't take anything, right? No money, no bag in your belts. Just wear a sandal, but not an extra shirt. Can you imagine? You know, when I was looking at it, these are the essential things that you and I need, right? These are the essential things. But Jesus says, don't take money, don't take any bag, just your stuff. Right? And just wear sandals and go. Come on, Lord, what's happening here? Right? Have you realized there are some people who, you know, when they go on a trip, they overpack themselves? Right? I'm one of them too. Right? When I go overseas, the airlines allow you 23 kilos. Mine is almost 22.9 kilos. Right, we overpack, you know, we put everything, even for a short trip, we overpack everything, as if you don't get anything from that particular country. We overpack. You know, one of the fear is, what if I don't get it there? Right? The fear is, what if I go to China, I don't get these things there? What if I go to Vietnam, I don't get in my coffee? I think they have better coffee, right? And so the fear is, you know, what if I don't get? What if? Let me tell you, that's the same problem with many Christians today. It's what if? What if I do not say the right words? What if the person will ignore me? What if the person will say, you know, shut up, I don't want to talk to you about faith, about religion? What if, you know, that's the problem I think Christians face, my friend. We want to, but, you know, what if the person is not ready? What if, you know, something might happen? They might, you know, say some words that might even offend me. What if I might even offend them with certain words? That's the problem with us. What if? But Jesus says, you know, believe that I provide, right? I'm just providing you. And so he says, go. Right? I will provide you with the words, my friend. The thing is that when we go, let me tell you, in my life too, I've also experienced. When I go with an intention of serving, of ministering, God gives me the words. Right? Sometimes I do not know what to say, but the Lord gives me. Because I've gone in His name, in His authority, my friend. If what ifs comes, I think, let me tell you, that's doubt that comes into us. Doubt kills our faith. Right? And so, It's a passage that actually tells us, and Jesus is sending us, right, by saying, you know, just go. Sometimes you might think, you know, Pastor Vincent, if I say and they don't respond, what do I do? Remember last week, the pastor was preaching, Dr. Vincent was saying, very powerful story, right, the last story that he shared. The lady missionary shared with a 5-year-old kid, right? He smiled. And she went, you know, she died. I think according to the story, what we did, we realized, I think the seed that was sown will definitely grow someday, my friend. It might take time. Right? Today, we want instant result. We want the person to immediately accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that happens, praise the Lord. But sometimes it takes a while. You have sown the seed, but circumstances, you know, changes in their life, you know, and that becomes conducive for them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we want immediate results. We are afraid, you know, whether, you know, it will produce. But let me tell you, it will produce because God's word will never go to the ground, right? If you read the life of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, you realize Samuel's words did not ever go to the ground because they are God's word, my friend, because he went in God's name. And Jesus is sending them two by two. Don't ask me, you know, how did that happen? I do not know. But the Bible says, you know, they went two by two. Was it, you know, John and these people walking together? I do not know the formula. But it gives you a lot of strength, right, when you go two by two. Because sometimes when you're there, you know, the other person might just jump in by sharing their story. And then you might be there. So you are helping one another. It's teamwork at the same time, right? You are building yourself. You're building the faith of another person. And you are there. But if you are still alone and you say, you know, I don't have that someone to come along with me, just go. Because all authority is given to us, right? And Jesus is wanting us to go believing. I was just reading a story about this great man, David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a great missionary, and so he was a great pioneer in Africa. So he received a letter from his overseas mission because they wanted to send a lot of people into mission field. So David Livingstone, a very pious guy for the Lord, a great strong missionary. So when he received the letter, and the letter said this: "Have you found a good road to where you are? We want to know whether, you know, you have found a good road where you are. If so, we want to send other men to join you." You know, the reply of David Livingstone was totally different. David Livingstone replied, "If you have found men who will come only if there is good road, I do not want them here. I want those who will come if there is no road, my friend." That today we want to make sure everything is perfect, right? And then we will respond and we will serve the Lord. David Livingstone said, no. I want people to come, men to come, knowing there is no road, right? Just trusting, depending that God will provide their journey. No money, no bag. Just trusting, depending on Him, that He will give me the words, my friend. He will give me the words. And God can do wonderful things in our life. Thirdly, let me finish with this. And so, before that, you know, I was, I just remembered Acts chapter 3, verse 3 talks about, you know, Peter going to the temple, right? A blind man, you know, a man comes there, a man with difficulties, right? And Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "Silver and gold have I not, but I have one thing, the name of Jesus. Rise and walk." I think they did not have anything, my friend, but they had Jesus. We have everything, and we have also have Jesus, but whether we want to go in the authority that is given in Jesus' name. God says, you know, go. The authority doesn't belong to us, but I think it belongs to Christ. Our relationship with God is very important. Lastly, let me look at the passage and then. The third thing is, I think, is having confidence of His presence, right? If you read the verse, it says, "When you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So in other words, I think Jesus is teaching the first verse. It says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. When I was reading this, I realized, I think, actually, God prepares everything for us. Not only, you know, He provides, but His presence is felt In other words, you know, the presence of God has actually gone, so that certain people will be receptive. They will say, you know, come and just join us, you know, share us with the gospel. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodism Church, right, he talks about prevalent grace. In other words, he says, God goes before us. And the Bible speaks about it. God goes before us. His presence goes beyond us, my friend, preparing the place. I think it's important to us to have that confidence. Lord, I'm going. Right? But have you gone? The Lord says, yes, I've gone. Right? Confidence that he has gone. He says, when you enter a home, stay there. Because God has prepared. Right? And then share the gospel. In the same note, Jesus is all saying, it's not that every time you'll have good news. Right? There will be times people will reject the gospel, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, right, shake the dust. That was the culture of those days. They will shake the dust of their feet as the testimony against them, and they will leave. Right? I prepared the place for you. You go, and if they receive, they will receive. Right? If no, it is no. But you just go and preach the gospel, share the gospel. You know, sometimes we are afraid. Right? I remember Ananias, right? Ananias, when God told him, you know, Ananias, go to the house because Saul is there. Ananias said, Lord, you mean Saul, the guy who was persecuting the church? You want me to go and pray for him? The Lord says, no, I've already started working in his life. You just go, pray for him, and he will experience healing in his life. Ananias went because God has already prepared, my friend. I think as Christians, I think we need to have that kind of confidence. You know, when I go and share, people might accept or people might not accept, but you know, God has prepared that ground, that soul, that heart. Whether they receive God's word or not, you know, it's, you know, as Paul said, you know, I've planted Apollo water, but God gives the growth, right? It is God who gives the growth according to his will and purposes. And so just go in that confidence, knowing that, you know, God is there. He understands everything that you and I need in the journey, my friend. What did the disciples do, right? They went out. Can you imagine in verse 12? I like that verse. It says they went out and preached that people should repent. They brought the message of good news. They brought the message of repentance, right? They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them, right? They drove out many demons. And can you imagine? Probably there was a lot, it was a very chaotic scene. People were healed, right? And demons were just running out of the place because they were afraid. And God was doing great and wonderful things in the life of the disciples. When I was in Singapore together with my wife and kids, the churches I pastored, I've actually ministered to quite a number of people, right? In my church, people come through conversion. And so they come from different religious background. So you see deliverance happening in the church, right? People will be, you know, this spirit will manifest, speaking in different languages, and all that takes place. It's a scene that you will always see in that part of the world. But when I came to Canada, you know, God had been speaking to me. You know, yes, the presence of the evil is still real here, but in a different form. Today, we have if someone has issues, right, we don't understand, we have a name for that, my friend. But let me tell you, there are many issues. It is related to the work of the devil. It is not just health issues or, you know, mental issues. There are many issues that's the work of the devil. He's very subtle. He's cunning. He knows how to trick us, my friend. But they went out, right? And they drove the devil, the demons out from these people. And many people were sick. One of the passages I was, you know, reading yesterday was Acts chapter 5. If you have Acts chapter 5, you know, it's very powerful. Let me read it to you, Acts chapter 5. It says in verse 12, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's place. And then, you know, they were doing great things. And then in verse 15, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Can you imagine? The shadow of Peter. You know why? Because he had the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because this man was a person who denied, saying that I do not know this man. But later on, he was restored. He was firm. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? His shadow was able to heal the people, my friend. People were just lying down. Just imagine of that situation. People were just lying down, like the needy ones, on mats. And it says at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirit. And all of them were healed, not because of Peter, but because of Christ. Not because Peter, you know, had all the ability. It's because of Jesus who has all the ability, my friend. I think God calls us even today. The fear is, what if, right? What if the person will turn me down? What if, you know, it will strain our friendship because I shared the gospel? What if, you know, I might not say the right words and offend the people? The Lord says, go in my name. In my name, draw strength from me. Build that relationship with me. And with that relationship, go in my name. Right? You can do great and wonderful thing. Not only just sharing the gospel, my friend, even God can use us in such a way that even demons will just run away. People will be healed, not only physically, but even mentally. People can be healed when we go, depending not on our strength or ability, but depending on God, that He will give us the words. Not because I have the talent. Many a times, you know, I was looking at a study. People, one of the reasons people don't share the gospel because they want the professionals to do it, right? And secondly, we live in a society, we don't want to offend the person's faith. We don't want to intrude into their faith, right? We don't want to be offensive. We just want to accommodate people. Go. Just believing, not on your ability, your experience, or who you are, just believing that Jesus will give me the right words. Or at least the words, and fruits will be given later. And have confidence that even before you go, the Lord has gone before you, my friend. So I can go in confidence because He has prepared the ground. He has prepared the hearts for people. Let me share with you a story. I think all of you have heard about this great preacher, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great man of God. And one day, D.L. Moody was in London. And during one of his famous evangelistic tours, so several British clergymen, right, they were very learned guys, you know, they wanted to know why this poorly educated American, right, was so effective. He was not so strong in his language, D.L. Moody, but he was very famous because of his preaching, because of his, you know, the way he delivered the word. Thousands of people were just coming to Christ, and the people in the clergymen in England were just questioning why this poorly educated American has been so powerfully used by Christ. So they asked him, and so they asked D.L. Moody, you know, we wanted to know, you know, why, you know, you're a poorly educated guy, but you know, God has been using you tremendously. At that time, I think they were in a hotel, and so D.L. Moody brought three men, right, to the hotel room and said, you know, look outside. What do you see? So the three men looked out of the outside window and they said, you know, we see people standing around the car park. We see people walking. And we see people just minding their own business. But then suddenly they turned and they saw D.L. Moody was in tears. And they asked him, why, sir, are you crying? And these were the words of D.L. Moody. He said, I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find Christ. He did not see people just walking in the streets. He saw souls, people needing the gospel. If I don't preach, their destiny is hell. They need Christ. And that was the way D.L. Moody saw people, my friend. And God was able to use his compassion, his love, his burden for souls. How do I see people today? Do we see people, you know, they're going to spend their life in eternity? No, one day we all of us are accountable, my friend. Like God is going to ask us questions about, you know, why not be spending our time or sharing the gospel with someone? How do we see people today? Do we see them as just ordinary people, or do we see them as people who need the gospel, who need Jesus? Whether they are saved or not, I just want to share God's word, because whatever you say or share will someday grow. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Can you imagine the 12 disciples were just ordinary people? Ordinary people, but they changed the world upside down. Not because they had the talents, the gifting, or the experience. Because they went in Jesus' name. They went in the name of Jesus, my friend. I believe God is actually calling each and every one of us, including me. He doesn't want us to go in our name, but he wants us to go in his name. And he says, just depend on me, on the words. No money, no bag, no food. These are essential things. The Lord says, I'll take care of that. We just go. And I'll give you the words to say. Be someone in your workplace, you know, that God might be prompting you. Maybe someone in your campus, your close friend, but you're afraid to share the gospel. The Lord says, just go in my name. They might receive the word, they might turn it down. But whatever you have shared still remains in them. And God can, in his providence, in his way, my friend, make the seed grow. So today, how do we see our friends, our relatives today? Do we just see them? Or do we see them as people, just souls who might spend time in eternity in hell if the gospel has not been shared? Father, we come before your presence, O God, because we realize, O God, that many times, O God, we have fears in us. What if the person does not accept? What if our friendship is strained? But help us, Lord, to just depend on you and to know, Lord, that it's you who's sending us, and we draw strength from you, Father. Help us, Lord, to see the way as you saw people, because when we read scriptures, of God, we realize when you saw people, you are moved with compassion, of God. Sheep without a shepherd. Lord, help us, Lord, to have your heartbeat, Lord, in our lives. And help us to know, Lord, because you have gone and prepared the person for us. Even this week, Lord, you have prepared someone. And help us, Lord, to reach out, because God has prepared the person for us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of bringing your gospel. Thank you, Lord, for sending us with confidence. In Jesus' name we pray.